This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Yeah, amen. Thank God for every mother, amen? Because if not, you wouldn't be here. So get happy, hallelujah. You know, one of our kids, I think it was Greggy, sent us a little plaque that says, "Behind every good kid is a great mom." And that's certainly true, amen? So thank God for that. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad you're here. Delighted you can be with us. Praise God. And we've already had a good time. I mean, how many of you had donuts? Yeah, it's a good start anyway. So why don't you, I want to invite you to just stand with me if you would please. We're going to just go before the Lord in prayer, and then I want to share a good message with you that I think will be a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We're grateful for the promises that you've made to us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you were willing to give your life as a ransom for all of us. We stand here today, Father, because of you. And the plan of redemption, Father, continues on. Just as we heard and bore witness to the fact, Father, that people in the midst of storm and the storms of life have still found their lives in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you to help us as the church to fulfill the great commission that you've given to us within our generation in these last days. God, let us be salt, let us be light, and let us, Father, be love to those that are around us. And I thank you, Father God, that as a light shining bright, Father, we'll penetrate the darkness of this world. And we thank you, Father, for your blessing in the Word of God today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. You know, I watch them kids on that film. It gets me all messed up. And then I don't even want to preach. I mean, they're precious, man. I mean, it just messes with you, doesn't it? Hallelujah. The next generation. If you brought a Bible, I want to invite you to open it to Psalm 23. We're going to be talking about something here I think will be a blessing to you. Last Wednesday night, I had the privilege of communicating Red Week service and seemed prompted in a particular direction, which hasn't really left me, so we're going to kind of continue on along those lines and talk to you this morning, praise God, about some things you need to know. You probably already know them. I'm going to remind you. That's what Peter said. He said, though you know them, I'll put you in remembrance. And that's an important aspect of all of our lives, because how many of you know we all need to be reminded? Yeah, we sure do. You know, the storms of life, they come to all of us. And Jesus talked about that in a multitude of different ways and dealt with that particular subject. And he said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man that builds his house on a rock. And he talked about the winds and the storms and the floods and everything that came. But at the end of it all, the person was still standing. But then he talked about those, everyone that doeth not the word of God. Same wind, same floods, and same rain comes, but they're not standing. Well, I tell you what, as a pastor, as the founding pastor of this church, I want you to stand and keep standing until he comes. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we're to lift up our heads because our redemption is near. Well, it's nearer now than when we first believed. And, you know, you'll have the skeptics and all the people who say, well, where is the sign of his coming? You know, all things are continuing as they are. Don't ever let your little mind wander off into some kind of thinking that God is not faithful to what it is he said he would do. Everything that's going on is part and parcel to the plan and the purpose that God has. The Bible says he knows all of this before the foundation of the world. You say, yeah, but it's getting a little sketchy. It's getting a little scary. It's this, that, and the other. Well, you always need to remember that he said, yes, these things will come, but I'll take care of you. Everybody say, he'll take care of me. Yeah, he'll take care of me. But how many of you know that does require faith on our part? You have to believe what it is that he said in the midst of the storm. When Abraham was asked to offer his son as a sacrifice, you know, Isaac, you know, he kind of looked around seeing what was going on. He says, well, you know, Dad, we got this, we got that, we got, you know, everything for the altar and the fire, but we got no sacrifice. And yet Abraham, because he was a person of faith, made the statement, God will provide a sacrifice. Are you listening to me? because he knew what was in front of him, what was looming on the forefront of his life, and yet he was fully in faith of what it is that God said. And how many of you know God? He came through. Amen. Because it's such a wonderful thing to believe God. It is such a wonderful thing to trust him. You know, and I realize, you know, we live in a world where there's very little of that. It seems, you know, that people are less and less confident of the things of God. But thank God you don't have to be. I said you don't have to be. You can say amen. It won't bother me. Okay. But I tell you what, praise God, you know, it's so important for us as believers to make sure that we keep our eyes on the right thing. So I want to talk to you this morning about living. Now, bear with me here. Living carefree. You say, well, you know, again, the skeptic would say, yeah, well, good luck with that. But I can tell you this much about it, dear friends, that if you'll learn to follow the leader, that you can indeed live carefree. And that's why Jesus came. You know, there are many purposes behind Jesus' coming. But he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I came that I might destroy the works of the devil, which he did. And all of these things that are found within the Word of God, but they really never do the believer or the Christian any good if you don't believe it. And that's why it's important for us to realize that we can, in fact, live carefree where our lives are concerned. You know, I'll just ask you this question as we kind of begin this morning. What is it? What is the one thing, you could say fundamentally, that every person desires or longs for? And you say, well, that list could be pretty long. Well, I'm just after one, so I'll tell you what it is, and that's security. People love being able to feel secure, to have security. And when our lives are threatened and when our futures perhaps are not so bright, all of these things come to bear down upon our lives. And it's in those moments that it's important that we have faith in God. Can you say amen? And so this security that God, you know, that we all long for, by definition, it's freedom from danger. And yet a lot of times you turn on television, you never know what you're gonna get. Usually it's not very good news, and there's always something that's going on. But to have safety, to have freedom from fear. You know, the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And yet you'll see a lot of times Christians are afraid. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have things going on, because we do. What I'm trying to do is talk with you about the need to posture our hearts and our minds in a place to where we're looking to him and we don't have to be afraid. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on now, I told you can say amen. And it helps you not to go to sleep. Praise the Lord. So here's the most important point that I'll probably tell you. Well, I don't know. I got a few of them, but here's one. And that is simply this. Security, or being at rest, is not in something. It's in someone. And when we talk about that, it's because we live in this natural world. We're born into this world. So all of our, you know, the things that we relate to and understand and things are in this world. And because we live in this natural world, we look to the temporal things of this life to feel or to have this sense of security. So if those things start getting taken away from us, or again, they're somehow threatened, or this, that, or the other, then all of a sudden it brings concern where our lives are concerned. Can be in economics, you know, obviously in the financial realms of our lives and things in terms of the needs we have. It can be in relationships. You know, how many of you want everybody to be happy? How many of you realize not everybody is happy? And they may not be happy with you. Huh? You know, people want to be accepted. I mean, you know, I use this all the time. Keith Moore was talking about this guy. He came up after a church service, says, I don't like you. This is a pastor. You know, and of course, Keith, he didn't know how to answer the guy. How do you answer something like that? I don't like you. And so he's standing there, and all of a sudden, he just starts smiling. He goes, you don't know me. He says, if you knew me, you'd like me. You know, and so people have a tendency, of course, to, you know, make judgments that aren't necessarily true. But we look to the temporal things of this world for sometimes the security that we're after. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's not found in things, it's found in Him. So again, whether it's relational matters, how many of you know that there's certain things that you can't do anything about? They're beyond your control. You know, the Bible says that as long as we're in this life, to live peaceably with all men. Well, some men you can't live peaceably with, but that's not your problem unless you let it be. Thanks for your enthusiasm. But it is true. You know, and so my advice to you, dear friend, as a person, is to stay in your lane. What do I mean by that? I mean, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. But if they don't want to live peaceably, then you just have to go on down the road and not let it become something that is overwhelming or concerning. Does that make sense to you? You know, because not everybody has faith. We'd like to see everyone be children of God and living for God and have precious faith and all of that. And yet, unfortunately, for some, that's not the case. But you and I have been called to be salt and light in the earth. And one of the ways that you do that is that you don't become offended because of someone's disposition or whatever the case might be. In other words, what I'm saying to you, child of God, is that you're bigger than that. You are. You're much bigger than that. So take the high road. And that's why Jesus said that we're to love the unlovely. And guess what? You can do that. I said you can do that because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. We're talking about living carefree. And again, obviously, relationships are huge in our lives. And we want all of those relationships to go well, but oftentimes they don't. So let's define what our responsibilities are in that and to what, you know, what distance, what level, or whatever it is that we can be involved in that to bring blessing into the relationship. And the rest of it, let's just let, let somebody else take care of it. Yeah. Is that good? Yeah. You know, we talk about finding security in the temporal things of this life. Again, you have to understand that the temporal things of life are just that. They're temporal. That means they're subject to change. How many of you know, how many of you have witnessed a few changes in your life? How many of you ever said, you know, that didn't go as planned? You know, and we've all been there. You know, we've had dreams and hopes and wishes and desires and things that we want to do and so on and so forth. And yet, they didn't turn out necessarily the way that we thought they would. So the things in this life will always be changing. You say, well, that's the problem. You know, if everything would just stay put, people would stop messing around with my stuff, then I'd be okay. Well, guess what? That's never going to happen. So you have to adapt. Everybody say adapt. And part of the adapting process is for you to keep your eyes focused on the one who is and provides the security that you need. David's a great example. You know, you go and read in the Old Testament about David's life. I mean, it was astounding, you know, this man's life. I mean, it was distinguished in so many ways. Here he is, a young man, young boy, really, 15, 17 years old, and he's taking care and being responsible for his father's sheep. He's called to go check on his brothers. He ends up in this fight with Goliath. He wins this battle, takes his life, you know, all of these different kinds of things. Now, all of a sudden, he's elevated into this role that he could have never, ever expected, you know, as far as his personal well-being is concerned. And yet there was a prophet that had anointed him that one day he would be king. You know, you can never despise the day of small beginnings, dear friend. I'm telling you that God is still doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think because of the power that works in you. So you have to have hope, you have to have confidence, and you have to have faith that, praise God, He's not through with you yet. I'm glad He's not through with me. Amen. My wife's especially glad, you know. And you just need to know, glory to God, that there is a plan that God has for your life, and it's a good one. Please know that. I know that maybe some of you have, I mean, you've had some real tough bridges to have to cross and problems and issues that have come up in your life that you never expected. But I'm telling you what, the thing about it is you need to realize that whatever it is that's happened in a negative way, it does not define who you are. And you can move forward from that. How many of you know God wants you to move forward? How many of you want to move forward? Well, that's up to you. And if you want to move forward, you sure enough can. Amen. Put it in the rearview mirror and decide that you're going to go do something else to advance the kingdom of God and be blessed as a result of it. But again, back to David. I mean, here's this young man, and he ends up, you know, in Saul's palace in the, you know, with the king and all that. And he knew that he had destiny on his life, just like you. I mean, you may not recognize it, you may not even believe it, but I'm telling you, you're a person of destiny, divine destiny. God has things that he wants to do in your life, but so many times the storms of life make every effort that they can to try to dash or to destroy those dreams. And so David, you know, he's in the king's palace. He's doing everything he's being asked to do. You know, he's loving God. How many of you love God? He is loving God. You know, he's just minding his own business, doing what, you know, being responsible, never spoke disparagingly about the king, always defended him. You know, I mean, he was in his corner, and God gave him great success. And unfortunately, because of Saul's insecurity, Saul said, there, you know, he said, they'd sing about, you know, Saul killing his thousands, but David is 10,000. And Saul at least thought that was a problem, you know. And in the natural, talking about security, this guy's one of the most insecure guys you ever known. Yeah, he was hiding in the baggage when he was called to be the king. Remember that? So David all of a sudden becomes a threat to Saul, and all of a sudden the warm fuzzies and the kumbaya and the time together when we're just loving one another is all of a sudden over. We have times like that. Sometimes in our lives everything's going great, and then all of a sudden we're flying upside down and we wonder what happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But I tell you what, just because you decided to fly upside down, God did not leave. He hasn't changed. He's still as much for you when you were flying right as you were, you know, when you went the other direction. Amen. Yeah. So it's important for us, you know, to understand that. And David, just like all of us, you know, there was one time he despaired of his own life. He says, I know one day I'll perish by the hands of Saul. Well, you know, you can say, well, he shouldn't have doubted God. You know, he shouldn't have been so full of unbelief. But well, when you're living in it, it's a little bit challenging. Mm-hmm. Huh? And even though he said those things, you know, the reality is that God had a plan for his life. Maybe you find yourself there. You know, you're discouraged. You're in despair. You're saying, what the heck's going on here? You know what I'm saying? How many of you know we live in this world? And we're talking about living carefree. And I just tell you, you know, that your security isn't in the things that you have. It's in someone called Jesus Christ. And so we can look to him, we can depend on, we can rely on him, we can trust him. He'll be in the storm. He'll be the fourth man in the fire, you know, if we'll just look to him. And I tell you what, he'll bring you out. Amen. Unscathed. Glory to God forevermore. Well, so David, back to David, you know, he eventually, you know, even in spite of some of those times when it didn't look so good, he eventually became the king of Israel, just as God said. Hallelujah. And so I'm just saying to you that the plan that God has for you will be fulfilled if you just don't give up and quit and look somewhere else for whatever it is that you need in your life. Look with me, our text. It always takes me 10 minutes to get to my text. Maybe it was 15. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Our text here, some familiar to all of us. Notice something that David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, some people have interpreted that and said, well, you don't want, don't want, don't want. No, he was saying, he's my shepherd. I don't have a want. Notice what it goes on then to describe and say. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Did you know the valley of the shadow of death is this earthly temporal life that you and I are passing through? It's a shadow. And he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? He said, because you are with me. Your rod, your staff, which represents the word of God, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Now get a load of this verse. Surely. Everybody say surely. Surely. Huh? Say it one more time.
Surely.
Surely. Come on, have confidence in what it is that the Bible is telling us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, dog my tracks, all the days of my life. How many of you know we've gotten a lot more than what we deserve? And I'm telling you what, God's not through with that. But surely, surely his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if you're feeling insecure about things, feeling threatened about whatever it is that's going on in your life, read Psalm 23 and say, God, I'm that person. I'm that man. I'm the one that is written about in this. You are my shepherd, and so I don't have to want. You know, there's another scripture in Psalm 121:1. It says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, I wouldn't like to suggest that the physical hills wherever you may live is going to help you get out of whatever it is that you're doing. I think that what David is saying here is it's just kind of a perspective. In other words, I'm gonna look to the Lord. I lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. So in every circumstance, every situation, you know, and here's another thing to realize about this, you guys. Sometimes, you know, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about, you know, the nature of God or the will of God or the character of God. And, you know, you'd hear in religious circles where people say, you know, you got a need like this or that or the other. And you say, well, I don't want to bother God with that. You know, it's just a little thing and I can surely, you know, take care of that. God doesn't want you to take care of it. You were never created. You were never built. You know, or designed to carry anything. He said to cast all your care. Everybody say all. Yeah, so is God interested in the little things of our lives? If we as parents are concerned about our kids, is he interested in them? Absolutely. Is he interested in the welfare, the well-being, the health, or the wholeness of our lives? Absolutely. All of these things are things that he wants us to come to him to and for so that we can receive whatever it is that we have need of. You know, he said, come to me. Lots of folks don't do that. They try to shoulder it themselves. You know, they get all knotted up, you know, about this, that, and the other. I mean, we're all that way. There's this tendency where we just kind of, well, you know, I'll make this happen. And then after about so long, you know, you say, well, I'm a knothead. What am I doing here when I could get help from God? He said, come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will make your life worse. No, he said, I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that's what we're really doing here this morning. I just, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, when you're working through an imperfect vessel and you're trying to communicate to people about, you know, whatever it is that God is wanting to get across to us, you know, he just wants you to know how much he wants you to partner and learn of him. You know, the people that do know their God will be what? Strong and do exploits. So he says, come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And he said, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Hallelujah. People say, well, yeah. And always, you know, I no more and get that said, and then this thing comes up and says, yeah, but what about this? And yeah, what about that? You know, all the things that are going on the earth today. Well, I can only suggest to you to say that Jesus said all these things not only shall, but must come to pass. But he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who is it that does that? Does God do that for us? No, we do that.
Why? Because we know in whom we have believed, glory to God, and we're persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. In other words, he will keep your life. You know, sometimes people say, well, how come they got it so good, you know, and they don't seem to have any problems, you know, and this and that and the other. Well, it depends on the circumstance, of course. Sometimes we'll look at an individual, maybe they're not even in the kingdom. I mean, they're not even living for God, but they don't seem to have many problems. Well, listen, problems are coming. If you don't know God, problems are coming. And then you'll look within the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, and you'll see people, you know, that, you know, don't seem to have many problems, while others are really struggling, this and that and the other. And all I can tell you is that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. And you have to walk in the light of that truth. And to realize sometimes that's not easy, because all of this stuff is being brought to bear on you, and so you're having to, you know, I guess you would say come up underneath it. But the way that you do that is you say, God, this is not fun, but I trust in you. And I believe, praise God, that you are exactly who you said you are, and that you would care for me, that you would take, you know, care of the needs that I have, that you are my shepherd, and thank God I don't have to want. That's faith. You know, by the looks of some of your expressions, I'm not sure you're convinced. But I'll keep preaching anyway. Hallelujah. God told Jeremiah, he said, hey, don't look. It's kind of hard to. I mean, you know, there you are. You know. No, you're getting it. So, in another place I mentioned this, you know, that he says, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Now listen to this. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And you could actually read that whole 121st Psalm. I mean, it's awesome, the whole thing. But for the sake of time, we'll just make reference to that. So I'll give you an essential to living carefree. How many of you would like that? Huh? Here's an essential for a person to live carefree. It begins, first of all, with relationship. You have to know God. You have to have a personal relationship with him. That's where it starts. People outside of the kingdom of God, they have no relationship with God. And to me, that would be frightening. So you can be thankful for that. You may not understand everything that's going on around you, in front of you, behind you, or, you know, it's kind of like, wow, what happened? But I'm telling you, at least if you know God, you're in a good place. So it starts with a relationship, and the truth is, you know, there is no security, there is no rest outside of a relationship with him. And the access into that relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you can attest to me or to the group that's here this morning by your uplifted hand that you have had or made access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I see your hands? Okay. Well, you are a blessed person. You are blessed beyond measure because of what it is. Not only what, but who you know. And so, you know, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where peace starts. You know, you want peace in your life, you got to have peace with God. And the result of that peace with God is the peace of God. And he will keep us and bless us. On the other hand, for those that don't know him, the Bible says this in Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to those that are wicked. So again, having peace with God gives us or produces the peace of God. Now you're familiar with this portion of scripture, and Philippians chapter 4, it says this. It says, be careful for nothing. I think the King James says, or not King James, but the Amplified says, never be anxious about anything. Now again, the skeptic would say, yeah, good luck with that. But I'm telling you, if the Bible tells you to do something, how many of you know you have the ability to do it? Okay, I got six of you that think that might work. Okay, listen. No, I'm telling you that if he said, be careful for nothing, huh? Then thank God you and I don't have to be anxious about anything. Now, we may have to deal with something, whatever it is that we're dealing with, face the challenges, you know, that we're facing. But, you know, it has to be an act of your will. You know, you got to make some choices about what it is that you're going to believe, who it is that you're going to believe, you know, and how it is that you're going to approach the affairs of this life. You say, but I feel so overwhelmed. Well, again, I appeal to you when he said, if you feel overwhelmed, he said, come to me, all of you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I don't have a better answer than that, but it's a pretty good one if we would do it. Isn't that right? So he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and maybe he will answer you. No. It says, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, you can be in the middle of a storm and be the most settled person in the whole situation, because you trust in him. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep, guard, garrison your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So thank God we don't have to be careful about anything. And so our relationship with our Heavenly Father grows. It becomes more and more enhanced through the knowledge of his word. If there's anything as a pastor that I can tell you, I'm telling you, get in the book and let the book get in you. In Colossians, when Paul was writing, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I think if there's anything that we're having a problem with, it's the deficiency of not having the Word of God up on the forefront of our lives. We lead such busy lives. You know, there's a lot of affluence and things of that nature. We have so many options where our lives are concerned to do all of these things. And I tell you what, sometimes you just need to come apart for a while and rest with Him and learn of Him and grow with Him. Because here's the thing, you know, the Bible, a lot of people just look at it as a book. There was some guy, he's an unbeliever, you know, was talking about the hypocrisy of the Bible, and it wasn't true, and you know, they go on and on about all these things. But I can tell you this much about the Bible. The Bible is nothing more than a love letter that has been written from the heart of your Heavenly Father to you, his child. And so we just need to learn what it is that he has said so that we can enjoy what it is that heaven has to offer us as believers. And, you know, and I heard this all my life, you know, people say, well, you can't take the word of God literally. And my question to you is, why not? Huh? Can you take the word of God literally? Absolutely. And you should. You know, and I'll tell you, the people that whole kind of line of thinking comes from is people probably more than likely are just unregenerate and don't know God, and they don't have a clue. You know, I would liken it this way. Let's just say that we're talking, my son and I are talking, and I'm sharing some things with him. You know, I mean, I'm sharing my heart with him about, you know, whatever it is, just like our Heavenly Father shares his heart through the Word. Well, you know, it would be really disappointing if after I got done with this conversation with my son and we were talking about it and, you know, he was to interpret it, and that's what we're talking about here, he would interpret our conversation as being, well, Dad was just talking figuratively. He didn't really mean it. Huh? Well, I'd slap him. Well, no, I don't know. I'd just slap him. But, you know... It's no different in our relationship with God. You know, because when God is trying to tell us something and we try to interpret it as, well, you know, he's talking in that's not what he really meant. It's kind of a riddle. You know, he's just talking figuratively. Or maybe some people say, well, he was talking spiritually. What does that mean? Am I in the right house? You know, I'll give you an example. The scripture says, this is 2 Corinthians 8:9, somewhere in there, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, who was rich? Jesus was rich. That, you know, though he was rich, yet for your sake, did you hear me? For your sakes, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you could be made rich. Now, people, you know, when you start talking about defining rich, in my mind, you say, well, you're talking about being a millionaire? Are we all going to be a millionaire? Rich means to have a full supply, to have what it is that you need. Jesus became poor so that you could be abundantly and richly provided for. And the reason I use that scripture is a lot of people explain that verse away and say, well, he was just talking spiritually. Okay, let's examine that. Okay, so what you're saying is that he said, you know, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich spiritually, yet for your sakes he became poor spiritually, so that you through his poverty could be rich spiritually. Well, you know, if you're poor spiritually, you typically aren't raising the dead. Huh? If you're poor spiritually, you typically aren't feeding 5 to 10,000 people at a time. Huh? If you're poor spiritually, chances are you won't be walking on the water. So I'm only saying that, using it as example, because a lot of times religiously we misinterpret the scriptures and we don't really see what it is that God is. Can you take the scriptures literally? Absolutely. And if it is something being spoken of figuratively, it will tell you so. Are you with me? How many of you know God cares about you? And when he says be careful for nothing, guess what? You can do that. I said, you can do that. And he wants you to do that. And if you will, praise God, you'll be blessed. Glory to God. All right, let's move on here and we'll try to bring this to a close. I want you to, if you brought a Bible or have a device, look with me this verse of scripture. This is Proverbs chapter 4, something I know that many of you are familiar with. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. So it's going to read a little differently than, you know, King James or English Standard or something, depending on what you're using. You can look here on the screen. Notice what it says. This is so important, you guys. Listen to me. As a pastor, I just want to tell you, what I'm going to share with you right now is so vitally important, because God doesn't want you to live in fear. He doesn't want you to live with anxiety and worry and care. But there is something you have to do. I can't do it for you. Pastor Brian can't do it for you. Not even God can do it for you. But you can. Everybody say, I sure can. It's so important for you to understand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now notice the 23rd verse, again from the New Living Translation, it says, guard your what? Guard your what? Guard your heart with, this says above all else. Your heart, your core, The who you are, the real you, is the most important thing in all of your life. Because the Bible says from it comes and flows all the issues of life. So the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, said, guard your heart, protect your heart. You know, we live in this world that's like a cesspool. And there's stuff everywhere that we're having to deal with. And God is just telling you and I, you got to guard your heart. There's certain things you don't need to be participating in. There's certain things that you don't need to, be looking at or listening to or any of those kinds of, they're of no value to you. But it's so prevalent, you know. And, you know, so it's important for us to guard our hearts. Now let's go on reading this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's pretty simple, but it is true. So where do you want your heart, where do you want your life to go? It all depends on your heart. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead, fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So I would say to you this morning, for all of us as believers, you can't be indifferent about protecting your heart. I mean, if evil comes your way, I'm telling you, you got to get your hands up and say, no, we're not doing that. Are you listening to me? This is a simple example, you know, but when we had our kids at home, when they were being raised and things of that nature, and we had them all during the summer months and everything, it was just a blast. You know, they're out doing whatever, riding four-wheelers, doing whatever it is that they did, and this and that and the other. And then school starts late August, you know, and off to school they go. All of our little blessings out the door and down to the bus, and they drive off. Well, so then they come back home. And we don't know what's happened, but all of a sudden, our little blessings have gone weird, you know, and they got all these attitudes, and they, you know, this, that, and the other. And so immediately, you know, as a parent, we got to say, whoa, 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 not in this house. You know, we're not showing disrespect. We're not, you know, turning up our nose every time, you know, because we don't want to do something. Now, that's going to happen. But, you know, my point to that is to say you have to deal with it. And so when it comes to your life and my life, just in the natural, it's same thing's true. You just can't let it go. You know, unfortunately, there are those that do let it go. And guess what? It gets worse. Yeah, right. And so it becomes imperative, you know, and you say, yeah, but man, dude, I am tired. Yeah. Well, welcome to the party. We're all tired. Hallelujah. We never get enough sleep. But my point is that there's just certain things you got to guard. You got to protect. And your inner man, dude, is it. God recreated you as his child, made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, put his spirit on the inside of you, and right here is the force of life. And so when the writer here in Proverbs says to guard your heart, that's exactly what he means. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. And so it becomes important for you not to be indifferent about protecting your core, the real you, and to guard your own heart. You know, E.W. Kenyon made this statement. He said, worry. How many of you ever had an opportunity to worry? Okay, sure. Some of you were up all half the night last night worrying. But E.W. Kenyon made the statement, worry is the unhealthy child of fear and unbelief. So we just got to look to him. And all worry amounts to is meditation going the wrong direction. Meditate in the word, not on that. You know how that goes. It just gets bigger and bigger. And maybe there really isn't any substance to it, but I'm telling you what, this thing's turned into a mountain in your world. Are you listening to me? So we just, and the reason I use the example is that when you recognize that, you pull yourself up, you go, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not doing this. I'm going to look to the Lord, praise God. You know, this is practical, but it works. Amen? And it'll serve you well so that you don't have consternation within your life. Yeah, but what are we going to do? You know, little Johnny's just that or the other. Well, again, let me appeal to you. The Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Get the wisdom of God. Speak into the child's life. Turn the corner for them. Help them. You know, a lot of times people don't want to be the way they are. They just don't know what to do with themselves. Maybe you could be the catalyst that could be able to help affect the situation. First of all, by starting by praying for them. And then maybe God would grant you the wisdom of God, pour something into you that you can share it with them as in a matter of encouragement. You with me? You know, a lot of people, they act out and they think things that are inconsistent with the Bible and different things of that nature. And a lot of times they're doing what they're doing because they don't even know who they are. You know, we have all this stuff going on, this woke culture that we have going on, you know, and people can't decide whether they're men or women or whatever the case might be. You know what the problem is there? They don't know who they are. That's all. Their identity is lost. And unless you look to the Word of God, you'll never know who you are. Does that make sense to you? And you know, people, they fight small wars, all of these things. You know, and even now, you know, I sense this. It's wild. I sense this right now. People are saying, well, you don't have any right to judge them or this. I'm not judging anybody. But I'm telling you, people are destroying their lives with problematic kind of thinking. You know, and again, I'm telling you, the Bible, I don't know how come I get off on this. Do you know why I get on this, honey? I don't either. Anyway. The Bible makes it very clear. He created them male and female, created he them. Amen? And so I'm sorry that people have trouble, you know, with this whole process, but they have had help. And it didn't come from heaven. It came from hell. And so it becomes this issue. But again, it comes back to this point about knowing who you are. If you'll read the Bible, God will show you who you are. And he'll reveal to you who you are. And he will bless you as a human being. Praise God. But we have to follow him, and we have to trust him, and we have to believe him. Okay, 15 things that you can do not to be filled with worry, care, and anxiety. No, no. Hallelujah. But I will give you 5 things real quick. First of all, you got to resist. Everybody say resist. You got to resist the temptation to be afraid or to be filled with care, worry, anxiety. Number 2, you need to have faith in God. Have confidence in your Father, you guys. He'll make a way where there's no way. Number 3, rely on the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm telling you, if you've been born of the Spirit of God and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a weapon. Amen. And you can use it to your advantage to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. If you don't have time to unpack that. Number 2, or where? 4. 4, pray with faith. You know, sometimes people just pray, but you know, if you're not praying with faith, that ain't going to do a whole lot of good. Have confidence, you guys. The Bible says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know. We don't wonder, we don't imagine, we don't hope, but we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You can have confidence in your prayer and faith. And then number 5, I can count. Keep your eyes, your gaze, keep your focus on him. Amen. You know, I mean, Jehoshaphat, when he had this alliance of kings that came against him and Judah, he said, Lord, we're no match for these people. Maybe that's the way you feel. God, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know what to do here. That's exactly where he was. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Says, we have no power, no might against this host that's come against us, and we know not what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's good advice. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we're thankful. We're grateful that God, within our lives, that we can place our trust and our hope in you. And God, I lift up the people that are here today. And I thank you, Father God, for that which you have promised us as your children. Lord, help us to appropriate, to take hold of, to practice, to do what it is that you have asked us to do. And Father, I know, oh Heavenly Father, I know that you will come to their aid, that you will come alongside them. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say it together. Heavenly Father, I cast my care onto you. I look to you, Lord, for your help in my life. Teach me your ways. Guide me in the way you would have me to go. And I thank you, Lord, for good success where my life is concerned, in Jesus' name. Father, I just want to thank you today, Father, for your divine grace within their lives. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that in the midst of whatever it is that they're dealing with, Father God, they can rejoice, that they can lift up their voices because, praise God, you have come to their aid. And that you will bring your grace and your blessing in every one of their lives in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around, please. If you happen to be here this morning, and maybe you're away from God, you know, I told you the first thing to have in peace is to have a relationship with him. And maybe at one time you did, but for whatever reason, you've fallen away, slipped away, and now you're someplace where you don't belong. Well, God invites you to come back. And I can't think of a better time for that to happen than right now. So while your head's bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around, if you're here today and you're away from God, and you say, Pastor, I have an interest in your prayer. I want to get back where I belong. Can I see your hand anywhere as I look across the crowd this morning? Anyone at all? Thank you. Honey, great. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to get back to God? Maybe you're here this morning, you never made the decision to receive him, and you don't know anything about, you know, having a real personal relationship with God. Well, he invites you. So if you're here this morning, you've never made that decision, you'd say by your uplifted hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? Can I see your hand? Anyone here today? Thank you. God bless you. You have no relationship with him, but you want one. Okay. Well, we have two people here at least. Maybe you were here and you didn't raise your hand, but, you know, you wished you would have, let's put it that way. Well, you can still pray this simple prayer. And if you'll just let it come right out of your heart, you mean business with God, he's going to meet you right where you're seated. So I'm going to invite the congregation to follow me in this prayer. Those of you that raised your hands, you pray this prayer and you say it out loud and you let your heart agree with what it is that you're saying. And I will guarantee you that your life will be different in just a few moments. Pray this prayer with me, everyone. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. I invite you to be the Lord of my life, and I thank you for changing me from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, just a few moments, we're going to be dismissing our service, and we do have people that provide spiritual guidance, you know, for people that have made decisions, and maybe you need additional prayer where your life is concerned, there's trouble. They'll be right over here in this corner. And I really encourage you. I know it takes some bravery, I guess you would say, you know, but I'm telling you that if you have a need in your heart, these folks are the most approachable people that you will ever know, and they love you and they care about you and they want the best. Now, maybe you didn't raise your hand on either one of the accounts, but you would like to have prayer. And again, these folks stand ready to understand where it is that you're coming from and what your need is, and they'll pray with you. How many of you know prayer changes things? Yeah. And so, again, don't be ashamed. You don't have to be bashful. But I just encourage you to do it. Praise God. It'll be the best decision you ever made. Hallelujah. Sometimes it just takes a little courage. Well, how many are glad you came? Praise God. I don't know what the plans for the remainder of your day is, but I hope they're great and wonderful. If you're getting together with mothers or whatever, eat lots of pie. I mean, I don't know, you know, just enjoy life. Praise God. We love you guys. You know, Joan and I are so grateful to be a part of what it is that God's doing in this. And let me mention one more thing. I want to just, I'll dismiss you here in a second, okay? But I just want to mention, you know, this Heart for the Church offering that we are having next week. I really do just believe God with us. You know, our goal was $50,000 because we had about 15 or 18 in one place, another 15, 18 in another place, and some different things. We probably saved 50% by doing the work ourselves out on the some of the landscaping and things. So we've been, you know, endeavoring to be good stewards, but at the same time, our goal was 50. And, you know, Joan and I, we've been talking about it. We intend to give several thousand dollars to it. And maybe it's something that you can only, you know, you can't do all in one lump sum. Maybe you want to do it in 30 days or whatever. And, you know, so when we have our offering next week, you can give $20 with a note and says there's another $80 for 100 coming or whatever the case might be. We're making it easy. There's no deal there. But, you know, she and I are, we've always, in all of our lives, we've endeavored to take the lead. You know, the Bible says that we're to lead by example. So I'm not telling you that we're giving several thousand dollars so that, you know, you'll know what I'm giving. You know, people say, well, don't you know? You know, you're not supposed to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. That's not what this is about. It's about just sharing with you that we wouldn't ask you to do something that we ourselves wouldn't do. So pray about it. Believe God with us. And you do whatever it is, you know. I mean, it's according to what a man has, not what he doesn't have. And I believe that when we get done, we'll have 50,000 next week. You all gonna believe with me about that, huh? Yeah, amen. And you just do your part, and you say that's a lot of money. Yeah, well, we got a big God, so let's not put God in a box, our box. Let's just let Him do what it is that He does, and it'll be blessed. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody, stand with me, please.